Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
From Studio B, welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Doug Hagman coming at you again from Studio B, my office, where truth can't be silenced. Had a little scheduling conflict today. A little announcement about the rearrangement of our schedule. Stan Dale will be with me on Thursday. Okay, Stan Dale will be with me on Thursday. In the second hour tomorrow, Pastor David Langford. A new teaching, a new sermon tomorrow, Pastor David Langford. I'm going to be checking in with Coach Dave Dobmeier tomorrow as well about what is taking place in Chappaqua. Got some news on that, excited about Thursday with respect to Stan Dale coming the second hour. Going to have more news and information on that as well. Going to have some information for my Patreon subscribers. Look for that. Letting you know pretty much what's going on in terms of what I've been doing and some of the work that your financial support allows me to do, allows us to do. So I want to thank you in advance for that. A lot of news to cover this show today. Of course, on the international front, we've got a problem with Russia, and I find it very interesting that what's going on with Russia? I thought Donald Trump was a Russian asset. Isn't that what we are led to believe by the intelligence community? Of course. Well, we've got Russian warships docking in Havana as Kremlin sees new Cuban missile crisis. Now, that comparison is Russia's comparison, new Cuban missile crisis. It's interesting that Russia... diplomats from Russia have characterized this event over the downing of a U.S. drone, and supposedly this drone over international airspace. However, Iran says no, it was over Iran. Anyway, the tensions with Iran escalating, and of course, if you look back, how did this situation with Iran really begin? As I spoke with Peter earlier this week, and in previous times as well, you have to go back to the Carter administration, the treatment of the Shah, and, of course, the February 1979 uprising, and then the subsequent November of 1979 hostage-taking, 444 days, 52 American hostages. And... the treatment by the United States, or I should say the acquiescence of the United States with respect to Iran, allowing Iran to really become the Islamo-fascist foothold that it is today. So Iran being a proxy state of Russia, always remember that. Iran is a proxy state of Russia. And I think a lot of people don't really understand that or forget that. So any kind of... play against Iran is a play against Russia. And right now we've got a Russian warship docked in Cuba, very close to the United States, of course, very similar to the Cuban missile crisis under JFK. Precisely when Russia says that what the United States and NATO are doing to Russia is comparable to the Cuban missile crisis that is being done to Russia rather than the United States. Remember, that was the other way around. And I would urge everyone to really understand what happened during the Cuban Missile Crisis for some good analogous information and understanding. But right now, we've got a Russian warship docked in Cuba, at Cuba, about 90 miles off the coast of the United States. And the warship has missiles, of course, short-range missiles that could, well, it could reach, it's my understanding, based on the information I've got, Washington or anywhere in the United States. I'm not even sure how to pronounce the Gorshkov, I guess, maybe, the ship the frigate Admiral Gorshkov, I suppose would be the better pronunciation, armed with caliber missiles, entered the port of Havana, that is, on Monday. If things get as far as actual deployment on the ground of these sort of systems, then the situation won't just get more complicated. It'll escalate right to the limit. This, the RAA, Russian news agency, has been quoted as saying. We could find ourselves in a situation where we have a rocket crisis close, not just to the crisis of the 1980s, but close to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Again, Russian words now. And it's interesting when you look back at this, who started this in terms of the most recent part of this? Well, look at Bolton. Look no further than John Bolton, at least in my view, and the neocons at the Pentagon and also below Donald Trump. And I find it very interesting that this is how we've seen how NATO and the United States operate. They put missiles, other systems within range of a country on the sly, so to speak. When that target country does anything to counter, for example, those systems, the U.S. and NATO call that an aggression, or tell the public that the violating country is adopting, or I'm sorry, the defending country is adopting an aggressive posture towards us. Yet, in this case, it appears that we're the ones, in this most recent case, that began the trouble. Now, before you throw rocks at me and say, oh, no, that's not the way it is, you've got to look back, in my view anyway, look back at what Bolton and what the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the military, industrial, media, congressional complex has done to really grease the skids to where we're at today. Now, when I look at this, look, I see real definite trouble here on the horizon, the likes of which we have not seen in over a half a century. This is what I believe, at least in this particular case. And I would urge everyone to be prepared as well. You know, it's look, we see what's happening with the weather disasters, and dreaded air quotes, in the Midwest and throughout much of the country. We know that our food supplies are going to be affected by this, adversely affected. So I would urge everyone to stock up. Even if you go to the grocery store and buy an extra can of whatever, you can always eat it. But listen to me, what's going to be happening, weather, because of the weather situation, we're going to be running short on things, or it's going to be priced beyond many people's price range. So please prepare. But with respect to Iran, does this show, and I'm asking you this, perhaps does this not show maybe that our president might not be running things? Does this not show, and again, this is my question to you, feel free to discuss this intellectually now in the comments section of our YouTube channel, but is our country being run by an invisible hand of the intelligence community, specifically the CIA or the Pentagon, perhaps? Are we looking at a world war being set up as predicted? Well, that's very possible. You know, when you look at what happened with the drone last week, If they were flying over Iranian airspace, the question has to be asked, why? Iran reportedly warned the navigators of the drone, hey, look, you're over our airspace. If you don't get it out, we're going to shoot it down. And shoot it down they did. And the individuals, I believe, on both sides want to go to war, for different reasons, but specifically the neocons here in this country want to go to war. Remember the doctrine from back, when was it? Back right after 9/11, of the countries on that list that were to be toppled, and Iran was on that list. But if the U.S. is able to start a war with Iran successfully, would China come to the aid of Iran because of the Chinese assets there and Iran being a proxy state of Russia? It's a given, in my view, that Russia would come to the aid of Iran. So let's follow this to its obvious conclusion. We begin a fight with Iran. Russia starts supplying high-tech weaponry to Iran. I think that's a pretty good assumption there on my part. And the Iranians, well, we respond in kind by upping our weaponry as well. As a matter of fact, we attempt to deter Russia by placement of weapons by Russia and elsewhere. Again, using NATO as the means to do so. Russia sees, would see, predictably see, the movement of such weapons as a first strike scenario, and something that they couldn't defend. And, of course, the Russian first strike against the weapons placement would have to or would begin. And this is how wars are started. So that's something to watch in on the horizon. And I don't think it's getting enough. I really don't think it's getting enough airtime. And I really think that the president is in a bad position in this particular case. And if you look at what the Russians are saying with respect to the situation, it is a crisis. It's a brewing crisis. Except in the mind of John Bolton, of course, then it's a party. One of the bigger pieces of news on the domestic front, and I got a piece of some audio and some video to show you on this. This, to me, lays out, and if anyone had any doubt whatsoever what was taking place in this country, well, worldwide, with censorship, with the banning, but with the manipulation, and specifically the manipulation of our search terms, for example. And you could put many instances where you can put in, and I think Alex Jones had done a great job of explaining this in today's broadcast, I think it was, talking about autofill, Google emails, or maybe it was James O'Keefe, Hillary emails versus Donald Trump emails, and watch the autofills on both. And it's there's a significant bias, obviously, against President Donald Trump. But today, earlier today, Senator Ted Cruz had really nailed a Google executive. As a matter of fact, I've got that right here. About the Project Veritas investigation that was conducted, and I thought that was just fantastic. And in fact, a number of senators sparred with Google executive over the use of what they call pervasive technology, or not pervasive, although it is pervasive, it's persuasive technology. I do have my notes right here. A woman by the name of Jen Jenai was caught by Project Veritas undercover cameras, admitting, of course, the fact that there could not be a repeat of the 2016 election, admitting that Google, being covered by Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, and by the way, I would urge everyone to understand what Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act is. Because me, myself personally, as a broadcaster, using a platform or platforms, those platforms are covered by Section 230. They don't tell me what to say, what I can and cannot say. But now, if they did, if they said, "Well, your content is we don't like the tone of your content." As a matter of fact, we believe you've got to tone down the rhetoric against homosexuality or against whatever the subject might be, then they are not covered by Section 230 of the CDA. And I find it very interesting that I was one of the first, maybe perhaps one of, if not the first company to be sued in a case that's still pending right now, where the platform, one platform, was a co-defendant of mine in the civil suit against me. I believe for speaking the truth, that's my opinion. But was named as a co-defendant, but the case was dismissed at the federal level because they were covered under Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act. And I find it very interesting that this is the target. The Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act is the target of many people on the left. Very interesting. But I digress. But we have found, Project Veritas released about a 25-minute video, and I'm going to play parts of it. I want you to pay attention to what was caught on audio and video. That produced an insider from Google to come forward, which, by the way, produced additional insiders from Google to come forward to say, hey, man, there's a lot of stuff going on at Google that people need to be aware of. And by the way, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I've said this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but man, I mean this. Google is not a verb, and I find it very interesting and deliberate where somebody will say, instead of saying, well, why don't you look that up or search this term, what do they say? Google it, right? To me, that's not by accident. That's been worked in to change our language, and our words and our language are important. But Project Veritas, explosive information, explosive undercover information about Google's manipulation of search terms, which we already knew. But remember, Sundar Pichai denied in front of Congress any such bias, any such manipulation. Alex Jones in Congress at the Capitol confronted Sundar Pichai. And of course, everyone said, oh, that's terrible. Oh, you know, he's full of it. No, he was 100% accurate. And I had talked to Alex Jones during that period of time. And we both knew that, at least in my view, Pichai lied, obviously. Perjury. I'm going to play a little clip, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to play the first clip I'm going to play is the Project Veritas. This is from Project Veritas. This is the investigative work product, the covert surveillance investigative work product, very similar to what I've done for the last 30 years plus. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what is being said by this Jedi. Pay attention. This is really critically important. I'm going to play this clip right now.
The reason we launched our AI principles is because people were not putting that line in the sand. They were not saying what is fair and what's equitable. So we're like, well, we are a big company. We're going to say it.
People who voted for the current president do not agree with our definition.
We were also training our algorithms, like, if 2016 happened again, would the outcome be different?
They are a highly biased political machine that is bent on never letting somebody like Donald Trump come to power again.
2020 is certainly on top of, now my old organization, Trust and Safety, is top of mind. They've been working on it since 2016 to make sure we're ready for 2020.
This is a Goliath, I'm but of David, trying to say that the emperor has no clothes.
He got called in front of Congress multiple times. They can pressure us, but not...
So there you have Jen Jedi, one of the top executives at Google, explaining that 2016 is never going to happen again. They're not going to let 2016 happen again. They're not, I mean, they're going to control the search results and the information and become an editor of information, which, of course, that would have an absolute adverse impact for them as a platform. In other words, they would be acting as a publisher and editor, and of course, be subjected to the constraints as a provider would be. In other words, they would not be permitted or be given the allowances under Section 230 of the CDA. Very important piece of information that you really have to take a good hard look at. Now, it's interesting because on Capitol Hill, in response to that undercover tape, undercover video, obtained by Project Veritas of Jen Jeni, Senator Ted Cruz spent about 5-6 minutes grilling a woman, and this woman's name is Maggie Stanfill, Stanphill, the director of user experience, about this very topic. Maggie Stanfill basically said, "Well, I don't know. I don't talk to her. When confronted with questions about this, she denied having any knowledge of this. But her answers, again, I like to pay attention to detail. In at least in my view, the devil, of course, literally in my view, in this case, is in the details. Now, pay attention. I'm going to play the Ted Cruz line of questioning from a congressional hearing that took place subsequent to the release of the Project Veritas video. And you cannot tell me that people at Google, especially the top executives at Google, would have no knowledge of this. Now, the director of user experience is Maggie Stanfill, who was being questioned by Ted Cruz. Here's the line of questioning. It's about 6 minutes long. Listen to the entire thing. There is a transcript floating around out there, but just watch her demeanor and watch her body language and watch how she responds to the questions put before her. Here's the video clip.
A lot of Americans have concerns that big tech media companies, and Google in particular, are engaged in political censorship and bias. As you know, Google enjoys a special immunity from liability under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. The predicate for that immunity was that Google and other big tech media companies would be neutral public fora. Does Google consider itself a neutral public forum?
Thank you, Senator. Yes, it does.
Are you telling me, after what you just heard, the undercover video, the audio that accompanied that, and of course your own personal experience, this Maggie Stanfill can actually sit before Congress and answer that question in the affirmative, saying, "Oh, we are free of political bias. We're free of any bias." That just blows my mind. Go ahead and continue that clip.
Okay. Are you familiar with a report that was released yesterday from Veritas that included a whistleblower from within Google, that included videos from a senior executive at Google, and that included documents that are purportedly internal PowerPoint documents from Google?
Yes, I heard about that report in industry news.
Have you seen the report?
No, I have not.
So you didn't review the report to prepare for this hearing?
It's been a busy day, and I have a day job, which is digital well-being at Google. So I'm trying to make sure I keep the trains on the track.
Sorry, this hearing is impinging on your day job.
It's a great opportunity. Thank you.
Well, one of the things in that report, and I would recommend people interested in political bias at Google watch the entire report and judge for yourself, there's a video from a woman, Jen Jeni. It's a secret video that was recorded. Jen Jeni, as I understand it, is the head of, quote, responsible innovation for Google. Are you familiar with Ms. Jeni?
I work in user experience, and I believe that AI group is somebody we worked with on the AI principles, but it's a big company, and I don't work directly with Jen.
Do you know her or no?
I do not know Jen.
Okay. As I understand it, she is shown in the video saying, and this is a quote, Elizabeth Warren is saying that we should break up Google. And like, I love her, but she's very misguided. Like, that will not make it better. It will make it worse. Because all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with preventing the next Trump situation. It's like a small company cannot do that. Do you think it's Google's job to, quote, prevent the next Trump situation?
Thank you, Senator. I don't agree with that. No, sir.
So a different individual, a whistleblower identified simply as an insider at Google with knowledge of the algorithm, is quoted on the same report as saying, Google, quote, is bent on never letting somebody like Donald Trump come to power again. Do you think it's Google's job to make sure, quote, somebody like Donald Trump never comes to power again?
No, sir, I don't think that is Google's job. And we build for everyone, including every single religious belief, every single demographic, every single region, and certainly every political affiliation.
Do I need I say anything? I could just look at the camera and just not say anything. I mean, really? So if I am pro-life, anti-baby murder, anti-homosexual, in my religious beliefs, you're telling me that Google doesn't do anything. And here, and this woman, and I'll tell you what, email her. Her name is Maggie Stanfill. Maybe she needs an education about her own company. What do you think? She's a director of user experience. You think she's telling the whole truth there, folks? I don't think so. Again, this is Senator Ted Cruz talking about the Project Veritas video, Google, as if we needed more information, correct? As if we really needed some sort of proof, as if this whole experience, our user experience as conservatives, is a conspiracy theory that we are being banned, as if this is all in our heads, or as if this is a conspiracy theory, as people like to say. No. Of course, let's continue with the Senator Ted Cruz clip.
Well, I have to say that certainly does not appear to be the case of the senior executives at Google. Do you know of a single one who voted for Donald Trump?
Thank you, Senator. I'm a user experience director, and I work on Google Digital Wellbeing. And I can tell you we have diverse views.
It's a simple question. Do you know of anyone who voted for Trump? Of the senior executives?
I definitely know of people who voted for Trump.
Of the senior executives at Google?
I don't talk politics with my workmate.
Is that a no?
Sorry, is that a no to what?
Do you know of any senior executives, even a single senior executive at the company who voted for Donald Trump?
As the digital well-being expert, I don't think this is in my purview to comment on political
affiliations. So you don't know, that's all right. You don't have to know.
I definitely don't know.
I can tell you what the public records show. The public records show that in 2016, Google employees gave to the Hillary Clinton campaign $1.315 million. That's a lot of money. Care to venture how much they gave to the Trump campaign?
I would have no idea, sir.
Well, the nice thing is it's a round number, $0.00. Not a penny, according to the public reports. Let's talk about one of the PowerPoints that was leaked. The Veritas report has Google internally saying, I propose we make machine learning intentionally human-centered and intervene for fairness. Is this document accurate?
Thank you, sir. I don't know about this document, so I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to respond to the committee in writing afterwards as to whether this PowerPoint and the other documents that are included in the Veritas report, whether those documents are accurate. And I recognize that your lawyers may want to write explanation. You're welcome to write all the explanation that you want, but I also want a simple, clear answer. Is this an accurate document that was generated by Google? Do you agree with the sentiment expressed in this document?
No, sir, I do not.
Let me read you another, also in this report. It indicates that Google, according to this whistleblower, deliberately makes recommendations. If someone is searching for conservative commentators, deliberately shifts the recommendation, so instead of recommending other conservative commentators, it recommends organizations like CNN or MSNBC or left-leaning political outlets. Is that occurring?
Thank you, sir. I can't comment on search algorithms or recommendations given my purview as the digital well-being lead. I can take that back to my team, though.
So is it part of digital well-being being for search recommendations to reflect the, where the user wants to go rather than deliberately shifting where they want to go?
Thank you, sir. As a user experience professional, we focus on delivering on user goals. So we try to get out of the way and get them on the task at hand.
So in my experience in courtroom settings, asking that question, did you notice how she answered that question? We try to stay out of the way. In other words, we try not to interfere with that. Well, given her position and given her answer, they certainly don't. They don't comport. In other words, I certainly would have drilled down a little bit deeper with her on that, taken her to task on that. That's just me, however. But it's interesting how she deflected and muddied her job a little bit to the extent where Cruz didn't have enough time to really dig down deep into what her job consists of or consisted of or consists of. So that's very interesting. Here's the remaining portion. I think the last question asked by Cruz, and then, of course, he's going to come back and want an answer to the question I just addressed that she could not or would not answer. I'll just finish up the clip now.
Question. One of these documents that was leaked explains what Google is doing, and it has a series of steps. Training data are collected and classified. Algorithms are programmed. Media are filtered, ranked, aggregated, and guaranteed. And that ends to with people, parentheses, like us, are programmed. Does Google view its job as programming people with search results?
Thank you, Senator. I can't speak for the whole entire company, but I can tell you that we make sure that we put our users first in our design.
Well, I think these questions raise very serious, these documents raise very serious questions about political bias at the company. Thank you, Senator Cruz.
So what you just heard and saw there was Senator Ted Cruz questioning the Director of User Experience. How would you like to have that job? Maggie Stanfill, about the Project Veritas video release, the covert video release. And I thought the investigation was very well done. I would urge you to watch the entire clip from Project Veritas. In fact, I might play some additional pieces of that surveillance video, because not only was it well done, the information that was provided was exquisite in terms of its kill shot ability. And when I say that, I'm talking about the legality behind the Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act, where they're acting as not just a content platform, but an editor. In other words, they control what gets, you know, what goes through and such. And of course, you knew this. We all knew this. We've all been saying this. Yet the Sundar Pichai and others have said, oh, no, 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 you're just imagining all of this. And your Uncle Ed, crazy Uncle Ed, who comes over at Thanksgiving, well, no, that's just conspiracy theory. That's just nonsense. You know, again, they came for and took down InfoWars and Alex Jones. And people applauded like drunken seals. Because why? Because, well, I don't like Alex Jones. I don't like InfoWars. So they applaud. Even many on the conservative side applauded. This is what you get. This is the result of that acquiescence to this agenda, or this being obtuse because, well, I just don't care for his views or opinions, or it doesn't affect me. Oh, it does now. As a matter of fact, during the same congressional hearing, you're not going to hear this. Chances are you're not going to hear this on the evening news or in, perhaps neither in some of the new media. Others had testified at this hearing. The issue of persuasive technology. That's what this was about. Then Project Veritas's video, of course, became the topic at hand. But again, pervasive technology. What in the world is that? Pervasive technology. Well, if you dissect the words and take each word, technology, of course, we know what that is. Persuasive, persuading someone to do something. It's interesting because there was another individual from Google, the subcommittee, also heard from Tristan Harris. Now, Tristan Harris was a former Google programmer, since becoming one of the most foremost critics of social media companies' design decisions. Harris told lawmakers that some internet platforms can easily predict from a user's data what their sexuality is, what their preference might be, their personality traits, whether they suffer from low self-esteem, and whether they are about to enter a relationship. A pretty interesting statement by Harris was this: it's a race between who can better predict your behavior. They, meaning social media companies like Facebook, Twitter, whatever platform, and even Google as a search engine, can predict things about us that we don't know about ourselves. The actual quote by Harris is this: they can predict things about us that we don't know about ourselves. That's pretty frightening. In the meanwhile, what's going on in the meanwhile? Well, Google executives are in a panic right now. Wouldn't you be? Again, James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, released this alarming new undercover video. And by the way, along with the video, he obtained documents that were leaked from Google and testimony from a Google insider. Again, that's in that undercover video that revealed much of their plans to impact the 2020 election. Now, think about that. We had 4 years of discussion, or at least it seems that way, of election meddling, didn't we? And then another 2+ years of saying, hey, the foreign country, Russia, meddled in our election. The leftists, the loony leftists, the progressives, the Muppets on the left saying, Russia meddled in our elections. And here you've got Google, and as we have said, and we knew it all along, and other social media companies meddling in our elections. Maybe that's what they mean by persuasive technology. But when you look at the paperwork, and I'd suggest everyone to do this, look at the paperwork that Project Veritas uncovered. Again, Jenai saying Google had been working diligently, of course, to prevent the results of the 2016 election from being repeated in 2020, which only means one thing. It means that they're actively engaging in election meddling right now as we speak. And they're working to elect someone from the Democratic Party as we speak, or the Communist Party. The expose, the undercover video, they're, in my view, their magnum opus, Project Veritas's magnum opus. Congrats, James O'Keefe. Was so damaging that Google and YouTube Google YouTube, that is, they're one and the same, essentially, deleted Project Veritas's video exposing the tech giant's electioneering. Think about that for a second. We can't have this truth out there, so we're going to delete you. Which kind of brings me back around to say thank you again to those who support this platform on Patreon via PayPal or via U.S. mail. I want to thank you because this has allowed us to see ahead. We have redundancy built in. We have our own storage facility, capabilities and facilities. And should YouTube cut us off tomorrow, we won't miss a beat. We have all of our intellectual property backed up, and we can continue without missing a beat. We don't need YouTube. We don't need the social networking platforms to exist. So I want to say thank you so much to the people who support this platform. But again, Jen Jeni, which you watched, bragging that Congress can pressure Google, but we're not changing. She deleted her Twitter account. She made her Instagram private. Google executives deleted their social media pages. Some foreign guy, Geit, the Google engineer, revealing the tech giant's actions to manipulate its algorithms based on its own definition of fairness. He deleted his Facebook account. Congressman Louie Gohmert, by the way, at this hearing, said of O'Keefe's latest undercover sting, said that Google needs to be stripped of its Section 230 CDA immunity and to be properly persuaded by class action lawsuits by those they have knowingly harmed. Say what you will about that. That's one way. And there's a response by Gohmert, obviously, about Project Veritas. That's one way. I know that people don't want to see government involved whatsoever in the internet, in splitting up Google. In fact, we had a constitutional lawyer on, constitutional expert on. It would be not constitutional to do so. And I got a lot of flack for that, all right? Now, there's some constitutional purists out there, and I consider myself one, but I'm left, and I don't know about you, but I'm left wondering, well, what can be or what should be done constitutionally about this? The only answer I can come up with, and again, feel free to comment, but if they're to act as the public square, as this street corner, metaphorically speaking, then it should be unregulated. Which also brings me to the point, too. When we go out and we step aside, away from our keyboards, away from our microphones, and we go out to places like Hillary Clinton, her place of residence, which is on a public street. And we are forced behind a barricade into an identified free speech zone. That feels a little weird. What do you think about that as well? Now, these are all questions I think that need to be answered, but in this respect, I just want you to remember back in 2013, 2012, I told you about Barack Hussein Obama, his digital army. I broke that story. It was on, at that time, HomelandSecurityUS.com, but it also ran concurrently at Canada Free Press by an insider who said, look, Obama has a digital army, and they're watching and they are influencing the social media sites. They have infiltrated the comments section. They've done all of this. Everything that you're saying, you're seeing today, by investigation, I had brought to the table 6-7 years ago. That's not to say yay me. It's just to say, look, we've known about this for the last well over a half a decade. And we are well into a decade, I would argue, of this kind of action. So I wanted to make sure I led the program off, aside from the international Russian threat and the war threat, to be clear. I wanted to make sure that people understood, look, there is a huge fight brewing right now between free speech and complete and utter communism, clamped down, jackbooted thuggery by the left. The fascism is by the left. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report from Studio B. That's Studio B, my office. And as I mentioned earlier at the onset of the program, tomorrow, Pastor David Langford will be with me on the second hour, brand new teaching, brand new sermon. You're going to want to listen to that. Fantastic. I had the opportunity to speak with or to have dialogue with Pastor Langford. It's going to be fantastic. And on Thursday, the second hour, is going to be Stan Deo should have been today. It's going to be Thursday instead with a bunch of new information. And again, I appreciate your patience as, from Studio B, my office. And because of the scheduling conflicts, the stuff that we are doing right now, the stuff that, I'll just point this out before going to break here. We are at a point, I think, in our lives collectively, in our nation's history, world history, but specifically our nation's history, that we need to be active and we need to be proactive and we need to engage, whether it is the physical or the spiritual or both. Actually, it's both. We need to be proactive and we need to engage. And again, it is because of your support, again, Patreon, PayPal, U.S. Mail, that I'm involved, Eric the Tech's involved, we as a team are involved in actually engaging the enemy in a number of ways. You know our 2019 campaign, right? You know about the 2019 campaign. If you don't know about it, look at HagmannReport.com. Look for the 2019 campaign. Infiltrate, inform, and prepare. Well, you've allowed us through your donations. I want to thank you for your continued support, financial support. You've allowed us to infiltrate as well as associate. You've allowed us to, through this platform, to inform. And by the way, to ensure and assure that Google and YouTube being knocked off by either one will not affect us. Through your support, we've been able to engineer or have engineered a standalone platform where all of our material is stored offshore and not accessible to censorship. And it'll always be there at HagmannReportLive.com. It's because of your support. But it also gives us the ability to go out and step away from the microphone, step away from the keyboard, and actually become part of the solution. And I want to address the Patreon supporters separately here in the next 24 hours to let you know what I've been doing, what Eric the Tech's been doing, and what others have been doing. By the way, not the least of which is Russ Dizdar, and we've been doing together some very exciting things, actually, and making some changes, which my next topic is going to cover. I'm going to be covering the next topic, and that, in case you haven't seen it, and this is relevant to what I'm referring to. I don't know how many people understand this, but human trafficking in America is among the worst in the world. Advocates working to put an end to human trafficking share their stories. This, of course, according to Fox News, Fox in-depth coverage of human trafficking and the human trafficking crisis. folks, it's at epidemic levels, as is the satanic ritual abuse. Please understand, when I say that, I'm not overstating anything. We're seeing an uptick in satanic ritual abuse. We're seeing an uptick in multiple personality disorders and DID and MPD. But at the core of all of this, at the core, is a rise in the component of evil. And you may not, you know, it doesn't matter if you believe it. It doesn't matter if I believe it. It doesn't matter if your crazy Uncle Ed believes it. It's true. It matters what the practitioners believe. And this is something we're fighting. And I want to thank you for allowing us to engage in that fight, as well as things like the Equal Justice Tour and other such causes. It's kind of funny. Real quick before the break, I had mentioned about what's going on in Oregon, about Kate Brown, the governor in Oregon, sending out the state police after GOP legislators who refused to show up to provide a quorum to vote on a cap and trade bill. I talked about that yesterday. I'm amazed at how many people had no knowledge of that. And even today, perhaps some of you might not have any knowledge of that. But it's issues like this where we've, and the Oath Keepers are by the way, in Oregon, just as an FYI. But it's at this moment in time, it's my belief, it's at this moment in time that we need to get out from behind the microphone and to become proactive and make the changes. And you're helping us do that. You're listening to The Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced, from Studio B. I'm Doug Hagmann. Going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.